Welcome back to Noob Dad Pro Dad. I'm David.
And I'm Jesse.
And today we have a special guest. I'd like to introduce our good friend, Jason Burris. How you doing, Jason?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good to have you.
Tell us a little bit about how you know the both of us and tell us your fatherhood situation.
Fatherhood situation. I like that.
Yeah, right.
What's your predicament, Jason? Tell us. What's your predicament?
For sure. No, that's great. Man, I met David through his beautiful wife, Jeannie. We both are musicians, and I think one time Jeannie needed a sub drummer, and I was available. So we met, and we've had lots of great experiences together, including going overseas to London and doing some work together there in 2012. So we had a great time. Jesse, I guess we have mutual friends in this beautiful city of Miami. We've done different events together, whether it be at church or other organizations to help bring positive change, Christian impact into the city of Miami's leadership stuff. Yeah, we have kids that have the same names. So sometimes in passing conversation, it's like, wait, are you talking about my kids or his kids?
It's not like they're common names either.
Right, right. Yeah, Eli and Zoe. And I love the idea of kids being in pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, and them knowing how to spell their name and them knowing how to write their name.
Good.
I can't imagine going the 6, 7, 8 letter route. So, yeah, speaking of my kids, my father predicament is I am a father of 2, a daughter who's 10 and a son who's 8. I often call them my treasures. They are amazing. They make life so much fun.
That's great. And, you know, today's topic, we're going to cover a little bit about being involved in your kids' extracurricular activities or sports. And you're heavily involved in sports. Is that right?
Yeah, we our kids have done lots of activities, and we're definitely a sports family. My beautiful wife, 14-plus years now, we both were athletes up through college. Track and field athletes, and we just love sports. We both played multiple sports as kids growing up. So our kids, they also enjoy sports. So it's just something that we definitely have gotten involved in over the years.
And Jesse, did any of your kids kind of get involved in sports?
Yeah, when they were little, you know, they did all the little league sports. You know, mainly soccer was kind of the big sport that all our kids participated in and enjoyed. And then a little bit in late middle school, early high school, our boys did some football and cross country and things like that. But, you know, but sports was always like a fun topic in my family because my son, Kobe, would be playing football and I'd be like, what's going on right now? And my older son, Eli, would have to explain to me like, okay, Dad, this is football. Like, this is how the game is played. Like, I was an athlete in high school, but I was thankfully held down the bench. I kept that bench warm. I kept those towels fresh. Anyways, that tells you a little bit about my sports background. I didn't have much to offer my kids when it came to sports, but yeah, we have some sports experience.
Well, that's something that you and I have in common because I'm a total sports illiterate person. I'm an artist, you know, I just kind of dream and draw. That was like my entire childhood. And so I actually have a shirt that says sports are scary because I've never been good at it. And I just kind of proudly wear that as a badge of honor of ignorance. But you know, I've always appreciated like people who really get into it and make a lifestyle of it and make a career of it. I just happen to know that, you know, JB has, you know, it's been such an impactful part of his life and even what he does on a weekly basis that I really wanted to explore it and really kind of understand, first of all, why are sports important in the first place other than kind of the obvious beneficial aspect of good health? But what is it about sports that made it such an important part of your life and your kids as well, and your kids' life?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was a kid and growing up, sports was something to do. My friends were doing it. I loved competing. And for me, I started track at a young age. Other than it being fun and kind of just a part of my life as a kid, I learned at a young age this was an opportunity for me to potentially go to college on a scholarship. And that was a pretty motivating factor to compete in sports. So I had a track coach who was really good in his day and very successful as a hurdler, Marcus Walker, somebody I will always love and respect what he was able to do, not just for me, but for a lot of my friends and a lot of kids in our neighborhood. And that was to teach us how to run. And he sent a lot of kids to college, man, all different types of colleges and levels and divisions. But to go to college and further your education was a cool thing. So there's a lot of attention about the sport itself. And I don't want to take the whole podcast to a direction of what is the temperature of youth sports today in our culture. I think we all know there's some crazy things happening and there's a lot of news stories and articles about that. But really, sports is centered around community, and I think people get involved. I got involved when I was young, and my kids are involved now because it's a place to connect with families. It's a place to connect with coaches who have good influence and can teach your kids skills, character, team building, exercises. And I remember as a kid developing character and some tenacity and learning about integrity. All kinds of things come from being involved in sports and not just sports, but activities in general.
Do you find that your kids just kind of see it the same way? Like, do they find the value in the community aspect as well? Were they steered into it, or is it something they kind of naturally lean towards?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I know in our house, there's school, there's academics, and we're blessed to have two kids that do well in school. We work with them, we stay on them, we have since they were little. The reading and writing and math and science, just teaching your kids, you know, and when you're parents, you enjoy teaching your kids and paying attention to them, or you should anyways. There was also like, okay, well, what else are you going to do? What else are your interests? What do you like? And I remember before I had kids, before I was actually dating, there was a family that I met on one of my first jobs out of college, Michael and Lisa Porter. They had 7 kids, I believe. And, Michael said, we were talking about parenting one time and kids, and I'm like, bro, your guy's got 7 kids. What is that, man? Like, how is your house? Is your house chaotic or whatever? And Mike's like, come on over, man. Come hang out with us. I go over there, man. It was so peaceful. It was just incredible. I mean, maybe I caught him on a good day or whatever, but it was just very interesting, man, how that house operated, man. And I later met another family that had about as many kids as that. And it's just a really cool dynamic. And both of those families, and I remember Mike specifically saying to me that the most important thing you can do with your kids is pay attention to what they like. Pay attention to the interests that they have. If a kid likes to draw, then as a parent, do what you can to make drawing be a part of that kid's day, part of that kid's week, part of that kid's life. If it's music, singing, sports, pay attention and help them develop their passion. So for us and our family, yeah, we ask our kids, hey, what do you like? What do you want to do, man? You want to dance? You want to play an instrument? You want to do sports? So for our kids, a lot of it's been by choice and discovery, just trying different things. My son is playing, he's played basketball and baseball and flag football. He's even competed in a track meet before. My daughter's competed in the track meet. She's on baseball, gymnastics. All that to say, they chose and we helped encourage. And some of those decisions have come from what's healthy for our family, what's healthy for our kids, and understand that we're not making a decision for our kids to go pro at these young ages. So we want them to learn skills and enjoy it, but we also want to be around good people and good coaches. You know, and my daughter's doing 9 to 12 hours of gymnastics a week. She has a community. All those girls become friends, and they like to hang out and go to each other's birthday parties and sleepovers. So you want a good community because that's what's going to shape her character and shape who she is. You want a good coach because that's who's going to shape her grit and her willpower. Same with my son. He's a part of a really cool baseball academy right now that, you know, is character over competition. Practice hard and you compete hard, but it's about the community, man. And it's actually one of the well-connected communities that I've ever been in. The parents love each other. The kids love each other. And I think that adds a lot to our life.
Jason, you had mentioned, you know, that you and your wife are really competitive. You know, are you and your wife ever tempted to live vicariously through your kids? You know, do you find yourself wanting something for your kids that maybe your kids don't want, or maybe you know, there's a certain potential that you see in them, but they're not interested in pursuing that or chasing after that?
For sure, man. It's hard, and we are not experts on it or pros at what to do, and I believe the space is very gray. I believe that you need, again, a community of people around you, parents too, to be, keep it honest and be real with each other, and we all have to be reminded, man, like, you don't go from being 10 years old to being a pro athlete or a Olympic athlete or whatever, but it's years and lots of practice and lots of time. I remember when I first moved to Miami, I met a family, and this particular family is involved in pro basketball. Great family, good kids and stuff, but to my surprise, the kids were not necessarily the athletes I thought they should be because of who their parents were. It kind of shocked me a little bit. I was like, man, your dad was amazing at this sport. And like, you don't even play the sport. Every kid is not that, you know, every kid doesn't fall in your footsteps. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think when your kid does fall in your footsteps and does have some of the same talents and passions that you do, that's great too. I think what's really important is that as a parent, you understand, you take that journey with your kid. Where is my kid? What is my kid like? I want my kid at the end of the day to be healthy, to have great sportsmanship, and I want him to experience life at the fullest. When I strip everything away, that's what he really needs. That's what my daughter really needs. They don't necessarily need to have a career like I did or a career better than me to validate who they are. For me, I mean, that comes from just learning from other people and also my faith, like understanding that we all are different and God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. So to say I don't struggle with it, I would be lying. Cause I want, when my kid's up batting, when Eli's up batting, I want him to hit a home run. And when he's not, when we're not practicing, I want to play with him and I want to push him and say, hey man, let's get out there and let's do some extra stuff. But he's got to want to do it. And I gotta want to be the dad that's supportive and that can encourage him and push him, but at the same time support him and not take it further.
You know, I was joking earlier about how, like, I excelled at playing the bench, you know, and kept those towels warm and water bottles filled. And not once did my dad or my mom ever, like, pull me aside and say, son, maybe you're an artist or maybe you're, like, you're going to be a pastor one day. Like, here's a different path for you, you know. And what should parents be doing when it's clear, like, the kid is not good at sports, right? Like, if I came to you and I said, I got four kids that all suck at sports, what do I do, man? Like, they're miserable. They never get game time, nothing.
It's funny, bro. Last year, I coached my son's basketball team for the first time. The league needed a coach, and I was able to coach my son. So I know my son's skills. I know his ability. I knew he would be maybe a little bit more advanced than some of the kids, so I was like, sure, I'll do it. And the funny thing is, there was kids on our team that had never played before. So there's a part of me, you talk about being competitive and how do I think, and like, I'm not even on the parent side right now, I'm on the coach side, and I'm like, man, who brought these kids out here? They can't even run in a straight line, and they want them to play basketball on my team. So it was funny, man. But I think even in that season, I just realized, like, what am I here for? These kids are, at the time, they were 8 years old. What's the next best step for those kids? For my son or some of the kids that actually could play or understood the game, is to help them get a little bit better so that they can understand the game a little more and be even more effective and more productive. So working on skills and helping them make their teammates better. What's the step for the kid that can't play? Just to learn how to dribble, to maybe make a shot, one shot during the whole season, or to get playing time, to be a part of something, to be a part of a team, to celebrate winning, to learn when we lose, you know, hey, there's a reason that we didn't execute as well as we did. That was as a coach, I think, and it helped me communicate to parents. What we're about here is just getting better every day. I love one thing my son's baseball coach says is win practice. They're great at teaching kids on just how to do a good job in practice. Be consistent. I think parents are looking for things to involve their kids in. And that's great. I think there's a discovery period. Hey, I want my kids to play sports, or we need to find something for them to do after school. And you're not just playing sports to be the next amazing athlete in that sport. You're playing for so many other reasons. And I think parents should embrace that a little bit more. And if your kid isn't a great athlete, that's fine. He might be great at something else, and you can kind of figure that out. But nobody has to be the most amazing athlete for life to be awesome. Like, we all watch sports, or a lot of us sometimes are aware of different sports, and some of those guys are incredible, but it's only one of them, or it's only a few of them. Not all of us make it or have the ability to be at that level and play at that level.
Good.
Jesse, I got a question for you. You mentioned that when you were, you know, warming the bench, your parents never discouraged you from, you know, seeking a different path. Do you think that was ultimately a good thing, that they helped you realize what you wanted to do, or would you have wanted, you know, them to encourage you in a different route early on?
I mean, I don't want to throw my parents under the bus, but, like, they didn't really come to my sporting events. So I think there was some wisdom that was dropped here just a minute ago that, like, we got to pay attention to our kids.
Mm.
So two things that I can think of my own life as a parent. When the kids were little, I coached soccer, you know, even though I was terrible at soccer, like to play it. Like, I know the game, and I could coach little kids how to play soccer. That's actually even how we planted a church. Is we got so involved in this huge soccer league in Central Florida that most of the people we reached for this church plant came from the families of this soccer league. We took interest, you know, we paid attention to what was going on with our kids. And then when my boys played football and one of my sons played volleyball, like, we would go to the games. My parents didn't. They were busy working. They had a lot of different things going on. And so, you know, they didn't know everything that was happening. And, yeah, I think that seemed like, oh, wow, Jesse's terrible. Like, he doesn't know what's up or down, like, in this game. I probably would have wished my dad pulled me aside and said, hey, let's figure out what you really love. That's what I was looking for. You know, I was looking for community. I was looking to belong. I was looking to, you know, be a part of something. And, you know, and it was tough growing up, going, man, I kind of suck at this. But then I kind of found my voice when you get older, like, in a college, and you have opportunities to, like, speak. And I started doing ministry. And some of that stuff became a little more like, oh, wow, okay, I'm finding my identity here. You know, I didn't really have anybody to sort of guide me. It was a high performance, highly competitive. I remember one time talking to my soccer coach, you know, being like, you know, coach, why don't you put me in more? You know, I kind of went out on a limb and I asked him. And he basically just looked at me and said, well, we want the team to win. And he just gave his face. I said, we want the team to win. He says, are you on the team? You're on the team, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm on the team. He's like, you want what's best for the team, right? I'm like,
wow.
Yes. He goes, well, that's why we don't play you that much.
It's so sad, but it's so real. Like, that's what people do. That's what people say, man. It happens all the time. You sports nowadays, man, it's so important to win at the expense of that type of stuff. Even as a parent, you kind of got, again, you got to pay attention. Like, is that okay? No. I remember even for my son in our basketball team, like, he hated coming out. A lot of times in Little League, there's different rules sometimes that can kind of keep you from dominating and keeping your best players in or only using players like, you know, Jesse was, unfortunately, that didn't get to play much or held it down on the bench. But, again, what are we here for? What are we there doing? Is it to win? Does winning matter that much at that age on a Saturday morning? If it does, we're totally missing the point. We're totally playing for the wrong reason. We're going after such a small W, man. And it's sad. It's sad for the kid. It's sad for the kid's family. It's sad for the coach. Because remember, these opportunities are behaviors that become habits over time. So what's a kid like Jesse supposed to grow up and do? Like, you know, hey, I'm not that good, I don't play, like, whatever. And then what's the other kids gonna think? If you're not that good, you stay on the bench, like, I get all the playing time. Who gets better that way? You know, our culture loves it and it kind of breeds that, but it's sad, man. I don't think that's cool.
Yeah, I think the connection, you know, what I've learned is I've raised my kids and then even just being in ministry is we, you know, there's this idea of discipleship. Like, we have failed as a society, even in the, quote, kingdom, you know, in the church and as believers. We really struggle, I think, culturally to disciple. We struggle to mentor. We struggle to train the younger and bring them up. We're very much a talent acquisition culture. You know, we're looking for those people that have the natural gifts, the natural strengths, the natural abilities, and then we put them in the game, whether it's sports or whether it's the position in the corporation or and even in ministry. Like, as a pastor, I've been serving in the church for 25 plus years, and I've watched senior pastors hire incredibly talented, quote, pastors, only to overlook someone who's maybe not quite as naturally talented, but that dude also deserves to be developed. That dude deserves to be
exactly.
Coached and trained and discipled and mentored. God has a calling on their life. And so correlating it back to like our kids, like God has a calling on our kids' life. And so for me personally, it wasn't in sports, but then the challenge I think we have is like for coaches and teachers and mentors, like I think you said it perfectly. Like we got to pay attention. We got to pay attention to our kids, and the win, it's a big W win here, is like to help each of our kids discover what is their path in life. I was not good in sports, but the other day I was at the Dolphins game with my brother and we had a great time. I love going to a Dolphins game. Now, truthfully, I sort of zone out, you know, and I'm starting to look at like all the intricacies of Hard Rock Stadium, and I'm like, man, this is amazing. I look at that stuff, and I'm paying attention to those things, and my dad's like, did you see that play? I'm like, oh, no, no, I missed it. But I enjoy it, but the point is we got to pay attention to the kids. At least that's my opinion. I'm seeing it. We got to discover, you know, the path that God has laid out for these kids.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, you said teachers, mentors, coaches. I think about parents. And I even think about some of the better players on the teams or the captains of the team. There's this quote I actually read today. The primary benefit of leadership should go to somebody other than the leader. And that's by Simon Sinek. And again, on a Saturday morning or in youth sports, again, I'm competitive. I understand there's championship games and all that kind of stuff. And there are certain times and games the coach wants to win. He wants to be able to, you know, reward his team for working hard for however long they did. But as a leader, there actually are more times than we give credit for than we want to admit. Like I said, the primary benefit of leadership should go to somebody other than the leader. The coach is sitting there wanting to win this game at the expense of this kid not coming in or not getting no play time or not even being developed. That's messed up. That's not even real leadership.
Fathers need to see themselves as leaders and coaches to their kids.
For sure.
The kids are benefiting from that. Yeah, it's good.
Is there a resource that, you know, both of you can recommend as it relates to leading your kids in either in sports or in their passions that maybe has influenced you guys?
A very, very close friend of mine, a former boss, had our team at one point read a book called Game On, The All-American Race to American Champions of Our Children by Tom Fahrey, F-A-R-R-E-Y. Incredible book. Talked about parenting and youth sports and the culture we live in and our kids. Great book. AllProDad.com. They really focus on the father-to-kid relationship. But it also bleeds out into what a father is like at home. It's more than just being a good father. You want to have a good marriage. You want to have a good relationship with a kid's mom. That definitely affects this whole situation. FamilyLife.com, they have a great resources for marriage and parenting and a lot of different family and relational help there. And then athletesinaction.org is a cool website. Right now, there's an article in there that says 4 ways fantasy football provides authentic community. So there's always really cool things on there. It is a Christian website, a Christian ministry, but it gives great insight to the world of sports and the impact that our culture has, but also maybe you can start seeing sports from a biblical perspective.
Jesse?
I think this area of sports and leadership and physical fitness and all that, it's like been a weak point in my fathering and in my parenting. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to take JB's recommendations here and just leave it at that.
Okay, great. Thanks. JB, any kind of final thoughts?
Yeah, man, I think just to sum it up for me, like I said, that paying attention is vital. Our world is super busy. Super fast technology and work. Man, there's just so many things going on the way our families do a day. it's hard. It can be hard to pay attention to your kids, man. It can be hard to really get down on their level, you know. I don't know what deep heart connection looks like in your home, but nothing replaces that. Text messages don't. Nothing beats real deep connection. As a parent, I don't need to use sports to measure how good my kid is or how great my kid is going to be, or comparison to other kids, and that's not what sports are for. My kid doesn't need to feel that I love him more, I love her more because she does great at her sport or that she achieves high success at her activity. Like, they just need to know that I love them. They just need to know that I care. They just need to know, like, I came to the game. I was there for them, you know. I pick them up from practice and go have lemonade. That's going to be remembered and go a lot longer and build, I think, the relationships and the bonds that we want to have with our kids. Again, not saying that not winning is important and not good, and I benefited from running track and winning and getting a college scholarship. My wife did the same thing. Those things are great, but build the relationship. So those are a couple things I would say. If you're a parent listening, major on the love and the support and the community that builds the life that you want for you and your family, not on the performance side of letting sports take over your life and your calendar and your time and your finances and all the things that really threaten that. Have some boundaries.
Really good.
Well, JB and Jesse, thank you so much for your time and just for another great conversation. And for the listening audience, what are your thoughts of being involved in your kids' lives, whether it's sports or music or some other activity? We'd love to hear your thoughts. So leave a message on the Anchor.fm app. And you can find that at anchor.fm/noobdadprodad. Until next time, signing out. Thanks again, JB. Thanks again, Jesse.
Thank you, David. Thanks, guys. It's fun.